Roughly every 7 years, my daughter Greta's birthday, which is November 23rd, is going to fall on Thanksgiving. And I guess my understanding is that it would be every 7 years routinely, except for leap year, I think, is what messes that pattern up. So I have to say roughly every 7 years. And this was one of those 7 years. So on Thanksgiving here this past Thursday, we spent the first half of the day celebrating that and with this wonderful feast that my mother and my wife prepared. And then we spent the second half of the day celebrating Greta's second birthday, which was pretty fun. And of course, we had to, you know, jump on the computer and look up some of the old videos that we have of the first days that Greta was with us. And just for fun, I'm going to just show you a little clip here. Now, I have other videos that do just focus in completely on Greta. This particular one was kind of focused on Maya because it's Maya's first meeting Greta. Roxy and Jasmine were watching Maya for us while we were in the hospital, and they brought her for a visit. So 2 minutes of home video for you now, and kind of cute. Maya was having a hard time figuring out where the baby was in this room here, so let's take a look.
Come on in.
Thank you. I'm wearing a silly dress. What do you think of that? Are you doing good?
Hey. Have a hug.
How are you?
Get your camera, too.
Daddy's videotaping. What are you doing, Daddy?
She's looking. Where's the baby, right? Where is the baby?
I see Darcy here. I need to find the baby.
How are you? Good. Good to see you. Thank you, Zachary.
Hi. There she is.
Oh, I really want to thank you for being here. Come look at our little bambino. She's all wrapped up in a blanket.
There's your little sister.
It's over on the table. Yeah, she's got dark hair like her daddy.
Did Maya?
I got Zanny for her.
Oh, yeah?
Do you see the pink hat up there, too? There's a little pink hat. Can you reach it? Oh, my gosh. Good job, Maya. That's it. You can bring it over.
Really, here's our babysitters.
Yeah, we're just saying, we gotta learn how to do that.
Oh, Greta. Can you say Greta? Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Say, I'm your big sister, Greta. You really should. Aww. You can give her a kiss if you want.
Oh. Wasn't that nice? So, yeah, okay. So, watching home videos is something we do on birthdays, right? We watch videos of the birthday boy or girl, and we also like to tell stories about the person being celebrated. So Anna and I were reflecting on those early days with Greta and all the noises that she would make in the middle of the night, and how we called her Grunty Greta in those first days. And for everyone's sake, we're glad she grew out of that and that name. And then we were also remembering how when we came home from the hospital, we actually came home on Thanksgiving that year, and it should have been one of those picture-perfect moments in life. It was so, Jen Neiflot had dropped off some Thanksgiving food for us because she knew we weren't going to be able to cook on our own, and so we all sat in our bed, in Mommy and Daddy's bed in the bedroom because, you know, Anna was still recovering, and for the first time as a family of four, all of us sitting there eating wonderful Thanksgiving food and feeling thankful, it should have been a really great moment, except that everybody at that moment just became suddenly very crabby, and I don't know if it was, I suppose, coming down from all the excitement and Maya being off her schedule, and so I had the video camera because I was anticipating this was going to be such a neat situation, but I decided afterward that that particular video was not worth keeping, so that didn't get saved. So this is what we do on birthdays. We tell stories and remember things. I once said to my sister-in-law that I enjoyed using their bathrooms when we visited their home because they had the best toilet paper. And so at my 40th birthday celebration, she remembered this, and my birthday present from her at that party was a 12-pack of Charmin Ultra Soft. So see, we remember things on birthdays. Hopefully you'll remember classier things about me than that, but on birthdays, we seek to celebrate the person who's having the birthday by remembering moments we've had with them, remembering things about them from the past, either through video or story. So we just had Thanksgiving, which means we now have permission to shift our brains into thinking about Christmas, and it's okay to listen to Christmas music now if you want. This year, we will together be celebrating Jesus' 2021st birthday. Now, that's not exact. It's believed that Jesus was born somewhere between 6 BC and 4 BC. Now, of course, BC means before Christ, and that whole dating system was built on the idea that Christ was born in what should have been year zero, and then you would have the before Christ was born years and the after Christ was born years, but they messed it up, okay? They messed it up. Nobody's perfect. Missed it by that much. And so it's believed that Jesus was actually born between the years 6 BC and 4 BC. I'm just going to go with the middle of that date range there and say 5 BC, which would make this birthday for Jesus his 2021st birthday. Complicating all of this further is the fact that we're told in Scripture that Jesus was actually there at the creation of the world, and we understand that he has always been a part of the triune God. So Jesus is actually way older than 2021. But this Christmas season would mark approximately the 2021st birthday of Jesus' birth into human form to Mary, placed in a manger. So with this focus of ours shifting from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I'm going to begin a series of sermons now for you in which I'm hoping to do for Jesus what we do for each other on birthdays. I'm going to lead us into remembering some of the special moments in his life, reflecting on some of the unique things about him. We're going to watch some home video, sort of, and we'll retell some of those stories from his life. And I'm calling this sermon series Celebrate Jesus. It's designed to help us remember and celebrate the birthday of this very important person in our lives. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can grab them now. I'll have you turn to our main scripture passage for the day. And this first passage I'm not going to put on the screen for you just because I think it's good for us to be opening up the book. There are Bibles in the chairs ahead of you there if you would like to grab one of those if you didn't bring your own. We're going to look, I got to tell you where to go. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. In those black Bibles in the chairs, that would be page number 1060. Our central passage for the day, though we'll basically just look at it up front here, but Luke 24, 13 to 35, page number 1060. Contained here is a story I wanted to tell you today about our birthday guest of honor. It's a story from his life that I think is great and memorable. You might have heard it before, so this will just remind you of this neat moment in Jesus' life. This story took place after Jesus was resurrected from the grave, though the people in the story do not know that yet. They just know that he had been killed a few days earlier, and they were devastated. I'll read it for you now, Luke 24. Now that same day, two of those who had followed Jesus were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus then said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And we'll stop right there. We've had some sermons here in the past where we have attempted to do what Jesus was doing for these two men along the road and talk about the Old Testament prophecies written centuries before Jesus' birth of a coming Messiah, a Savior, and it is exciting stuff. Here's just a real quick sampling for you. Malachi chapter 3 says, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Well, John the Baptist prepared the way, right, for Jesus, announced his arrival, and then came Jesus who said, "I'm here to bring about a new covenant between God and humanity." Looks a lot like that promise in Malachi 3. And then Isaiah chapter 53, another messianic prophecy. "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Messiah, according to those Old Testament prophecies, will be a great teacher, they said. And when he comes, he will save people. Blind people will receive their sight. Sick people will be made well. Prisoners will be set free. Dead bones will even come back to life. People will be saved from their sins, the old promises said. The Messiah will suffer, but he will not cry out. He will then be killed, but then he will see the light of life again. All of that from the Old Testament prophecies. So I don't know about you, but when I hear people explaining these things and look into those Old Testament prophecies and you see how Jesus fulfilled them, I get excited. Now, can you imagine walking along a path while Jesus himself explained all of this stuff to you? Well, that had to be quite an experience. And Cleopas and his friend there didn't even know it was Jesus at the time. If they were excited on the road, which they were, because they said later, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then how excited must they have been once they realized that was Jesus the whole time? Amazing. So as this mysterious man walked alongside them on the path that evening and explained the truth to them about the Messiah and what God was doing, the hearts of these two men came alive with excitement. I would imagine that the neurons in their brains were all firing and their hearts burned within them, they said. They were discovering something about the man whose birthday we're celebrating this morning and throughout the next month that we know already, that Jesus is a man like no other. Every once in a while in life, you might happen upon a person who you really respect. Maybe somebody in leadership who actually is principled and moral, thinking about our political system these days. Someone who is dedicated to truth and to honor, and that person inspires you. They get you excited and hopeful, and you want to support that leader. Well, I think you have to imagine that scenario times 1,000 here. because part of the truth that these two men on the road to Emmaus learned that night is that this man whose birthday we're celebrating is not merely a man. This man has a significant advantage over all others who might inspire us. The two on the road to Emmaus learned there that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, creator of all things, and that he is ultimately principled and moral, that he is ultimately dedicated to truth and to honor, and that he can and will and has done these things to perfection, which no human being can do, even though they try. So great human leaders may inspire us, but only Jesus Christ causes our hearts to burn with excitement. Well, this burning of the heart was not the only reaction that people had to meeting Jesus for the first time, or at least coming to a true understanding of who he was for the first time. Let me tell you some other quick stories about Jesus at this time of his birthday now, ways that people responded to him when they met him. The general response was excitement, although maybe expressed differently than this burning heart idea. Let's think of that special time when some of the men who would become Jesus' disciples first met him. John the Baptist, you'll recall, laid eyes on Jesus for the first time and shouted out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And right after that, two men who had been following John, one of them named Andrew, ditched John and followed Jesus, and you can't blame them. They spent the day with Jesus, it says in Scripture. And what did Andrew do after he had spent his first afternoon interacting with Jesus for the first time? The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 tells us that the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Simon Peter was hooked instantly as well, and after his first conversation with Jesus, and then soon Philip was as well, and Philip went quickly to find his friend Nathanael and excitedly told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." These were exciting times, excited reactions from these men after meeting Jesus. It did not take them long to be convinced Jesus is a man like no other. Well, I promised you some home video, so let me show you now, in celebration of Jesus' birthday, this home video from a couple thousand years ago.
A Samaritan woman came to draw some water.
"Give me a drink of water."
His disciples had gone into town to buy food.
"You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?"
"Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use."
"If you only knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. And he would give you a life-giving water."
"Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?"
"Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life."
"Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again. Nor will I have to come here to draw water."
"Go and call your husband and come back."
"I don't have a husband."
"You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You've been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. And is already here. When by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit. And only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is.
I know that the Messiah will come. And when he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he. I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the town.
Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?
So excitement, amazement. Whether it was because of Jesus' supernatural knowledge about things or miraculous signs or simply the way in which he taught and he interacted with people, Jesus brought those he met to life. Like in these stories, people going about their daily chores and all of a sudden they're leaving those tasks behind and they're running to go tell their friends about this man they had just met. Reactions to having met Jesus for the first time. Interestingly, excitement is not the only reaction that Jesus generated from people who were beginning to understand who he was. Here's a story from when Simon Peter came to a new level of understanding about Jesus. Now, Simon Peter had been already following Jesus to some extent at this point. We mentioned that a moment ago. But then came this interchange between them from Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So here's a new reaction. When suddenly confronted with the realization that when he's interacting with Jesus, he's interacting with God, Peter's first thought was that he's not worthy. Seems like he was overwhelmed with this, the knowledge of all of his sinfulness in that moment, and he knew he didn't deserve to be sitting there with Jesus. "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." So it wasn't just excitement that Jesus brought out in people. Interacting with Jesus also brought within them an awareness of their own sins. We know we can't hide it from Jesus. There's a transparency, and what that transparency shows doesn't look so good. Peter felt conviction over his sin. He was ashamed. Of course, we know now that Jesus came for that very purpose, right? To deal with that problem of human sinfulness, and he ended up later making Peter into the foundation he built his church upon. Well, another story from Jesus's life, this one with some similarities to that one from Luke 7. when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So here's a woman, when she came to Jesus, all she could do was weep. I think probably somewhat similar to Peter's reaction, this awareness of her brokenness and her sin, but also I think maybe an awareness of Jesus' goodness and love for her that connected on this deep level in her and brought out these tears. She seemed to know that Jesus would not turn her away, and she acted with love toward him, right? By washing his feet with her tears and pouring perfume on them. Meeting Jesus stirs up big reactions in people, doesn't it? He's a man like no other. How about the story of the reaction Jesus elicited from a crooked tax collector named Zacchaeus? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So here is an additional reaction that people have had when they've come to meet Jesus for the first time: repentance for their sins that they have suddenly become so aware of in his presence. Repentance means to turn from. So we're talking about life change here, turning away from sinful habits and behaviors, true life change. This is also something that we see happen in people who meet Jesus in a true and real way. I wish those were the only reactions that people had to meeting Jesus. Unfortunately, there are also stories from Jesus' life where people reacted very differently from the people we've looked at so far. There were some who saw in Jesus a threat to the plans that they had created for their lives. People who, instead of repenting, dug in their heels and resisted. People who were even willing to kill Jesus in order to continue running their lives in the way they wanted, rather than submitting to God's path for them. And at this time of Christmas, you might think of King Herod and the birth stories of Jesus. A king who, it sure appears, did not even doubt that these reports of this child being born, that he was the Messiah. King Herod doesn't seem to doubt that it was the Messiah. But instead of celebrating that fact, he sends out his soldiers to kill the baby so that he would not have to give up the throne. And of course, there were those religious leaders in Jerusalem whose ways felt so threatened by the adult Jesus that they did kill him. So some people have reacted to Jesus in excitement and repentance. Some have reacted in resistance and opposition. Well, all of those stories came from Jesus' life during biblical times. But I said we're celebrating his 2021st birthday today, which should indicate to you that that means he's still alive. Perhaps you may have heard that he was resurrected after being killed by those religious leaders, and he lives on. People are still meeting Jesus today. And guess what? People are still exhibiting the exact same types of behaviors today as they were in those biblical stories. So I'll tell you another story from Jesus' life. It's just that this story did not occur in biblical times, but it occurred within the last 10 years. In the last church I was a part of, there was a man who had come into a committed relationship with Jesus in what I would guess probably his late 40s. And he was so excited about Jesus, he could barely contain it. And when he got baptized, I'll never forget, he came up out of the water and he went, woohoo, like that. And this guy was pumped up. Jesus is still thrilling people today. And another story. One I know I've told you before, also about my time at that previous church. Anna and I had a friend who we had invited to church. He started coming with us, and after coming maybe 3 or 4 times, he said to me, "You know, every time I sit in a service at your church, I start crying, and I don't know why." I know why. Because he was starting to understand who Jesus was. He was starting to understand his own sinfulness and understanding Jesus' love for him, and that there is mercy and there is hope in this dark world. He was starting to understand that all those things that we long for to be true actually are true. And so my friend, just like that woman who knelt at Jesus' feet so long ago, just as she was weeping, he couldn't stop the waterworks. And he would cry. And if that happens to you, that's a great thing, because that means you're starting to truly meet Jesus. It's a reaction that people have been having from meeting Jesus for a very long time. You're not alone. Well, there are, of course, many people sitting here in this building today who have responded to meeting Jesus by repenting of their sins, similar to Zacchaeus. There are stories of life change in this building here. Jesus changes lives yet today. And unfortunately, there are also many in the world today who continue to resist or ignore or even actively oppose Jesus when they learn of him. And we don't have to think only of militant Muslims who oppose Jesus through the killing and persecution of Christians. What about the many people in our community who are aware of Jesus' call, but who do not heed it because they want to remain in charge of their lives rather than submit to a master like Christ? We were there once, weren't we? Wanting to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. Wanting to do as we please, and so we do our best to ignore God. It's been going on since Adam and Eve. But life doesn't work like that. It's not how we were created, or what we were created for. Choosing a path other than the good one that God has for us is choosing a path that leads to death and destruction. There are people all over the world today who are reacting to Jesus by resisting or ignoring or opposing him. So we do not have to go back 2,000 years to find stories of all of these various types of reactions that humans have had to meeting Jesus. Jesus has been eliciting these reactions from human beings ever since he was born in that little town of Bethlehem. Well, these are stories worth retelling as we celebrate the birth of Jesus in this Christmas season. For me, the one that hits closest to home is that first story we read in the Bibles there. The one of the two men talking to Jesus as he walked that path with them, and he explained the scriptures to them, and their hearts burned. That's a feeling I've had over and over in my life as I've dug into scripture, as I've had experiences of Jesus in my own life, as I've worshiped him in churches or listened to sermons that led me to understand him in a deeper way. I call it the Jesus heartburn. But this heartburn's not an uncomfortable feeling. This is an excitement down deep in your gut. You feel like your heart's going to come out of your chest. You can feel the blood coursing through your veins. It comes in those moments when we get a glimpse of the real truth behind this life and this world. Those moments when we connect with the one who made us and who knows us. I think it's our body's response to a connection with our Maker. And then comes that realization of just how off we have been, how sinful we've been, and then also of how God is so good and is willing to show us mercy, and then those tears come. I think these reactions in themselves are evidence of the truth of Jesus, that our bodies would respond in these ways. So I've experienced these things. Have you? And if you haven't yet, boy, I encourage you to dig in deeper. Call out to him. Read about him. Pray to him. Seek him with all your heart. Talk to those who know him already and learn from their experiences. Scripture promises that if you truly seek him, he will be found by you. And then one day you too will experience what was described by those two men who walked the road to Emmaus that day. Were not our hearts burning within us? This Christmas season, we celebrate Jesus. He is a man like no other.